Shalom. So I hope you all know 76 members of Stephen Wise and their families returned from Israel last week. I want all of you to search your souls and your bank accounts to find a way to join us on one of our synagogue missions to Israel. We'll do another one sometime in the next 2 years. In Jewish terms, it's the best investment of time and money that exists, period. Nothing else compares. Before we left, I stressed to our group that we're not going on vacation, even though I realized that some of the travelers were using vacation time. I emphasized repeatedly that we're not going on a joyride, although I'm not opposed to people having fun. We didn't even go to relax to get away from it all, even though I'm not against people sleeping, sort of. I don't like people sleeping too much on our missions to Israel when I'm leading a group. There's plenty of time to sleep later on the plane and when we get back home. My only regret for those of you who were there with us was that I couldn't squeeze even more activities into our packed schedule. We were on a mission. And the mission was to journey to the center of the Jewish world and there to discover our Jewish core, the spark of Jewish identity that could be cultivated into a roaring fire. The mission was to infuse your lives with additional understanding and additional meaning. Words pale in comparison to the actual experience. There's simply no way that I can convey to you in words the transformation that so many people experience when they come on a mission to Israel with our synagogue. That's why you need to go yourself. Our travelers themselves didn't understand what we were really getting at until the very end. But you should speak with some of the participants now. Talk to them at the Oneg. And you will get a sense of the emotions that surged in their bodies, the long-lost memories of ancient prophets and kings that suddenly came to life, and the pride of seeing what our people can do, if only given the chance. We met Jewish farmers who are feeding the world. They figured out a way to grow food with no soil and no pesticides. We met Jewish chefs who are leading international food trends. We met Jewish generals, the first of their kind in 2,000 years, responsible for the protection of 7 million Israeli citizens, and even responsible for safeguarding Jewish life as far away as West 68th Street, whether you know it or not and whether you think about it or not. We met Jewish journalists who are as critical of Israeli policy as anyone else. And we discovered that in Israel, at least, it's the only place in the world that what they say about us is true. The Jews in Israel actually do control the Jewish media. And in many ways, it's the freest media in the world. We met Jews who came from the four corners of the earth and rediscovered themselves and reinvented themselves in Israel. They shook off the dust of centuries of persecution and, as Theodor Herzl predicted, now live as free people in their own land. We saw a gritty, resilient, fun-loving, vibrant, exciting, first-world, technologically advanced Jewish society that, when you stop and think about it, defies all reason and historical laws. We should have been dead and disappeared many times over from the face of human history. Consider the enormous will dedicated to extinguish our people. Consider the vast wealth invested in wiping us out. All in vain. To those who traveled with us, and to you who are still waiting for what, I don't know, I want you to embrace your people. Look into their eyes and express your identification with them. How many times did we meet people on the front lines a few hundred yards from Gaza and in the heart of Tel Aviv who told us, "Thank you for coming. It's good to know that you care. It's good to know that we're not alone." I want you to revel in their exaltations, rejoice in their accomplishments, participate in their challenges, and fall in love with their spirit. Their spirit is indomitable. The state of Israel constitutes the most miraculous, the most exalted achievement of the Jewish people in millennia. If you are not part of that, you are missing a core component of what it means to be a Jew. A component of Judaism that you cannot and will not acquire in New York City. Every year at this time, we conclude the Passover Seder with the words, Bashana ba'a b'Yerushalayim, next year in Jerusalem. And I must confess, I never did understand how a contemporary Jew, a descendant of those who prayed for the restoration of the Promised Land for 2,000 years, can be complacent about seeing what it is all about walking its byways, breathing in its sanctified air. Churches organize mass delegations and prepare for months, exhilarated by the idea of seeing the Holy Land, while millions of Jews who think nothing about flying to London, Paris, Rome, and Athens for the weekend are so emotionally stunted as Jews that they do not contemplate flying an additional couple of hours to see Tel Aviv, the white city that emerged from the sand into the one of the world's greatest pulsating, thriving metropolises. To be in Israel is to marvel at the indomitable will of the Jewish people. The return of the Jews to Zion is a miracle of biblical proportions, the likes of which have not been seen in the whole history of civilization. See it for yourself. Do not glean your understanding of what it means to be a Jew from the editors of major newspapers. Do not expect that they will convey to you what the Jewish state is all about. You think that you're an expert on Israel or can even begin to understand what the country is all about by reading the New York Times? Public discussions about Israel are infused with the perspective of those who consider themselves neutral at best. You're not neutral. You should be passionate partisans when it comes to Jewish life. There is a consistent effort to delegitimate Israel. One method is to assert that the Jews are interlopers on the land, alien transports from a foreign soil. Our group touched the very stones of the city of David and prayed at the western wall of the temple complex. We traversed the land that our patriarchs and matriarchs walked. And when you do that, you realize, not only intellectually, but you realize in your Jewish neshama that you thought may have been eliminated, that long before Saudi Arabia, Syria, Iraq, and Lebanon were carved out by the British and the French after World War I, the Jews were in the land of Israel. Long before the birth of Christianity, the Jews were there. Long before the birth of Islam, the Jews were there. Long before Mecca, there was Jerusalem. Long before the Magna Carta, there were the Ten Commandments. And the Palestinians are the newest of the newcomers. They didn't form a national movement until 1964. 3,000 years after the establishment of Jerusalem by David, who proclaimed the city as the everlasting capital of the Jewish people. None of this excludes the necessity for compromise and sharing the land, but it is important for us to remember who we are and where we came from, because there is a sustained effort on the part of many around the world to delegitimate the very existence of the Jewish state and to deny the history of the Jewish people. I'll share with you one experience, perhaps the emotional pinnacle of our mission. The 76 of us awoke early on Monday morning and drove along the Lebanese border to a place called Baram, less than a mile from Lebanon and Hezbollah strongholds. Baram was a Jewish village that archaeologists believe was first settled perhaps as early as 2,500 years ago when the Persians dominated the Middle East. On the way to Baram, we saw United Nations installations in Lebanon, and we saw Hezbollah listening posts. Who knows? Maybe they were tracking us as we were driving along the highway. There is an ancient synagogue in Baram. That was the purpose of our visit. We were heading there to conduct a B'nai Mitzvah ceremony for five of our students in the ancient sanctuary itself, whose remains testify to some three millennia of continuing Jewish presence in the land of Israel. The synagogue was probably built a century or so after the destruction of the Jerusalem temple in the year 70. The villagers of Baram survived the war with the Romans and fought to sustain Jewish life by creating what was then a new and revolutionary institution, the synagogue. It was a gorgeous, bright, sunny day at the end of the rainy season. The rolling hills were green, the land was bursting with color, and the air was fresh with a sense of new life. We placed 76 chairs and laid a Torah down right inside the sanctuary, precisely the place where 1,800 years ago our ancestors chanted Torah, the same Torah portion that our five B'nai Mitzvah students chanted at that morning. Our students chanted in Hebrew, the very language that they chanted all those years ago. We recited some of the same prayers that they did. And our intentions were the same, to pledge our loyalty to the people of Israel and to the God of Israel. We did what they did. We expressed our commitment to and belief in the Jewish future. Our presence at Baram testifies that the Jewish story is ultimately a story of victory, not defeat. It is a story of the triumph of human will and Jewish commitment. It is a story of the victory of the Spirit. We return to Baram. We kept faith with those who now sleep in the dust, who fought there and died there. We honored the pledge of 100 generations of Jews to return to that spot. We even recited Kaddish for those Jews of yesteryear who lived, fought, and died to preserve Jewish life. The five B'nai Mitzvah students, our Jewish future, allowed us to feel the miracle of Jewish survival and return. Through them, we sensed the ongoing miracle of Jewish life pulsating through our veins and the miracle of Jewish history flowing through that place. And we prayed that it be God's will, that generations from now, Jewish children may stand on that very spot and proclaim their fidelity to that vision. I believe that our existence, the existence of our people, despite all that has been thrown at us, has ultimate meaning. I believe that the return of our people to Zion has ultimate meaning. It is a triumph of the human spirit and an accomplishment of universal significance. I believe that in some way these constitute the will of God and testify to the existence of God. In the words of the prophets, "This is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one in whom I delight. You shall teach the way to the nations. The lands await your teaching. I have grasped you by the hand and have made you a covenant people, a light to the nations, opening eyes deprived of light. I will put my breath in you and you shall live again. And I will set you down upon your own soil. I will restore my people Israel. They shall rebuild ruined cities and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and drink their wine. They shall till gardens and eat their fruits. and I will plant them upon their own soil, never more to be uprooted from the soil that I have given.